Testing.
Alright, now test from like far away though.
Okay, how does it sound back here?
Yeah, that's what we're gonna test.
Okay.
Alright, now it's really close.
Far away.
We're also speaking softly.
Yeah.
Are we gonna talk louder than this on the trail?
Probably.
Clifford, where are we at?
Rocky Mountain National Park, Colorado, USA.
Actually, I think you should hold it as, like, as somebody's going to talk.
Okay.
They hold it, because I don't want to, like, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So, do you come here often?
No, it's usually kind of crowded in the summer. I usually don't try to bother. But it's fun when you're out here, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just feels like a vacation again.
Mm-hmm. This is an old family tradition of mine, coming out to Rocky Mountain National Park in August. Patrick and I are hiking right now between a handful of lakes up in the mountains.
Which one? Where'd we start?
Started at Bear Lake, past Odessa Lake, just past Fern Lake. We may pass Cub Lake if we're ambitious, and then we're headed back to our campsite.
Nice. Yeah, so we just thought this would be a good time to, do an episode, like, somewhat of our intro episode, because...
An introductory episode.
Right, because, well, mostly ours, though, because we've done introductory episodes,
yeah,
and we didn't have time for ourselves.
So you may be wondering, who are your hosts? Now, you probably don't care that much about where we're from or that much about our backgrounds, but you hear our banter and our dynamic, so... we're gonna
closer still.
We'll make a point to focus on particularly random or goofy aspects of ourselves and how we know each other.
Okay.
Patrick,
how do we know each other?
We used to run cross country together in high school. We went to high school together. We ran cross country together, which for our team meant running away from school at 3 o'clock. And
which school?
St. Ignatius in Chicago, not too far from the lake, but we'd go out and every run was our own adventure, basically. So we would get up to various shenanigans, but we were running the whole time. So it's actually pretty good exercise, even though we were goofing off.
All right. So Clifford, favorite Ignatius, let's strictly keep it to like training runs memory.
Racing through downtown Chicago was always one of the best, and we would do various charades. Like, I'd stopped at a stoplight, we'd pretend to be teeing off in football, and someone would hike an imaginary football.
What about how we got, like, the trains and boats to honk?
Another one of our typical antics, we'd try to get to various people to honk at us, being a bunch of goofy, scantily clad high school boys. So we would, you know, point at cars sometimes, tell it, like, give the kind of pulling a train horn sign with our arm and try to get people to honk. So, you know, every now and then you get a little honk from a car, and we got some trucks to do it fairly frequently. Big foghorn sound. And
buses.
Buses. And then our proudest accomplishments, we run over the Chicago River on the way to the lake. We got actually a boat to pull its horn for us.
And the Metro.
And the Metro train running beneath the bridge. Yeah.
Okay.
Another distinctive memory of the cross country days gives a little picture of maybe some of the origins of this podcast. As we were leading these big runs through the city, Patrick would call out to everyone around us, say that they have to pick different characters from Lord of the Rings. And because, you know, there's only so many, legitimate characters, you could also choose to be an inanimate object, like the ring, which not all of our teammates appreciated, but certainly enough love that it was a pretty good time.
Dude, you're making it sound way too dorky.
That's the point.
What about I like the library tag. We played that.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? Yeah.
We'd go into the big public library in Chicago, and, you know, you're not allowed to talk or run or anything like that. So we would play, we'd split up into, I think, were we in pairs?
But yeah, sometimes pairs, depending on how many people.
You'd play this game, it's like a 7-story library in the city. And we'd play tag inside the library, like through the bookshelves and the reading rooms and everything like that.
We would only do this on very cold days. Yeah. That was like, you know, it was way too cold to be outside, so.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't have incentive to go to a chocolate shop that gave out free samples, which we would also do often. What about the waves? We ran along the lake with the waves.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Among our more reckless adventures, we, when it was really brutal, like, think February or March in Chicago, stormy, stormy lake, crashing waves, like, kind of smashed against the breakwater along the lakefront path. There's, like, you basically can run along the breakwater. And so it's like, you know, 40 degree weather, and these waves in the winter, when they hit the concrete barrier, crash up like, you know, 30 feet in the air and completely soak the area where we were running. So that was pretty enjoyable for us, like dodging these waves, but, you know, we'd get soaked in the process.
Well, yes.
Probably approaching frostbite conditions if we weren't running fast enough to keep our heart rates up really high. And it was one of those things that was, like, totally fun at the time. We realized after the fact, like, we could have lost one of our teammates into the lake on numerous occasions.
I would do it again.
I probably would too.
I would do it again. But, like, the funniest part is we'd be drenched, and then we'd walk into McCormick Place, which how we got in or... Well, we weren't allowed to be there.
Big convention center.
Yeah. And then, like, we'd go to the bathroom and try to, like, dry them off with, like, the blow dryers, which is like, well, this does absolutely nothing whatsoever. And then we'd just run through afterwards, which is until people started kicking us out. But mm-hmm. We swam in the lake a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Good times. Oh, what about, running through the parking garages?
Oh,
in
yeah.
Union Station. That was fun. Somebody always got lost. Every time. Like, remember going through the parking garage? Like, there's the two levels to it under Grant Park.
Yeah.
And so then, or Millennium Park, yeah. And so then, every time we'd split up and do the two levels to see which side would win.
Uh-huh.
But then one of the sides would get lost.
Uh-huh.
So the other side would have to go back and find them. Mm-hmm. And then we'd all get lost. And then, like, there was the one time we came up, like, were you there when we came up, we came up right in the middle of, like, Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, the car exit ramp out of the parking garage. After our relay race.
But, of course, this wasn't the Ignatius team. This was Whitney Young doing all this.
Yeah. Our team would never do something so foolish.
Yeah, so this is my second time out here with you at Rocky Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
What was the highlight of literature the last time we were out here?
Here, take it. Last time we were out here, when we were younger and more beautiful and could run through the mountains for miles at a time.
How did we run this?
That's unclear. We're currently hiking a path that we ran last time, and we're kind of bewildered that we're even able to run it. But we, on the car ride out, Patrick brought along his copy of the Cimmerillion. And so, as we were taking turns driving, you know, it's like a 16-hour drive from Chicago out to Rocky Mountain, we would take turns reading chapters of the Cimmerillion aloud. So it was like our little version of books on tape without the tape. And then, you know, we continued this practice at camp and on the way back, I think. And
that's when we finally finished it.
Yeah, we made it all the way through the whole Cimmerillion reading aloud, which we thought was pretty funny, and it was pretty good. Patrick had read it before, I think.
Yeah.
I had not, so I was constantly lost as to which characters are which. But I can I could say fairly confidently that I know my way around the Cimmerian a little bit and have a sense of the major stories.
I don't know. I had asked you about this like a couple years ago, and you were scratching to remember who was Fëanor. So, okay, we can go with that. Maybe as you refresh yourself with the podcast, you are. Uh-huh. But yeah. All right. Well then. Anyways. Well, let's go with that then. What favorite Silmarillion story? Yeah, this is a test.
It is. I do like the whole story of Gondolin, like the city in the mountains.
Oh, the one we covered?
Uh-huh. But I like the world building the best. That's like kind of my favorite part, more than any specific story. Yeah. So like the whole setup with like the what is it, Undying Lands?
Yeah.
The Undying Lands in the east, the elves, like the creation of the elves, crossing over to Middle Earth via the land bridge, like all that type of stuff, I think is pretty cool. It's very creative, unique stuff, and a lot of the stories are a lot of fun. But that's my favorite.
Okay.
What about you, Patrick?
Bryn and Lúthien. I mean, you know,
okay.
It's most people's top spot. Mm-hmm. All right. What about this though? Because I will say, like, I like the world building of that too, to the point where it's like, I gotta be honest, I don't like much other fantasy because it doesn't pass my filter almost, I'd say, you know, like it sounds like it's just cheap fantasy. But what, outside of Lord of the Rings, what's your favorite fantasy series or world building thing?
Ooh. I gotta think about that for a second. What about you, Patrick?
As far as world building, well, stories that take place in a different world, I like the original Star Wars trilogy pretty well. Cool. But, like, I don't like it for the world-building purpose. Uh-huh. You know, that makes sense, right? Uh-huh. Game of Thrones, I think, is a rip-off. like, just straight rip-off. Uh-huh. Whereas opposed to Lord of the Rings, where I think it does, like, homage to...
What do you mean by straight rip-off? Straight rip-off of history?
Yeah, it's taking history, and then it's just changing up the names a little bit. But, you know, he's not doing any creative work himself. Mm.
Pretty harsh.
Yeah, I might cut this out.
when I was a kid, I really liked the Golden Compass. The Golden Compass, Philip Pullman, maybe like Dark Materials trilogy or something like that. I can't remember the exact name. Thought those were super cool. It's kind of like multiple universes overlapping and a little bit of a like retro-futuristic thing going on, which I'm a sucker for. There are a whole like bunch of random kind of young adult books that I read when I was younger that were like these sort of historical futuristic settings.
Oh, kind of like Hunger Games.
Oh yeah, I mean similar thing where it's like quasi medieval but also a little bit futuristic. I think is usually kind of cool.
Outside of Lord of the Rings, what do you currently read now?
I like a lot of different types of things. I try to get a balance of nonfiction and fiction. So I was talking to Patrick quite a bit about this book Sapiens that I just read. I'm sure some of you may have heard of it. It was a big bestseller for a while. But sort of a like evolutionary biology, world history thing. I like that type of stuff and I find it pretty interesting. I'm reading a fictional story right now by a Nigerian author set during the Nigerian Civil War in the 60s that I think is really good. And let's see, there was some, what did I just read that I enjoyed? Earlier in the summer I read this book, The Overstory. It's another kind of one from the bestseller list, all about trees and a series of different storylines intertwining themselves, but everything had to do with trees and forests. After having read the reviews, I was a bit disappointed by the book because I don't think it lived up to its grand claims of this epic, like multi-part narrative. Yeah, I won't be overly critical, but I thought aspects of it were a bit basic. But a lot of cool facts about trees. It was pretty nice. Without getting too dorky about it, when we get to the part with the Ents in Lord of the Rings, there's actually like a lot of scientific evidence now for the amazing like ways that trees communicate with each other and like interact with their environment. That's like makes a pretty compelling case for like them being much more than just like static figures. They're really like they do kind of have their own character and their own lives going on in a strange way. Anyways, Patrick, what sort of stuff are you reading in your free time?
What do I read? Mostly nonfiction stuff. For this, I've had to read like 15 plus books for Token. So that's a lot of my time. What am I currently reading now? I got a couple things going. A couple books going purely as supplemental stuff for certain episodes that we're going to do. So like, for instance, G.K. Chesterton, because he would have been a big influence on Tolkien. I'm reading this one book about, it's called The Signature in the Cell, and so it's like the origins of DNA, and again, this guy's going to put forth the intelligent designer hypothesis for it. It's pretty good. It's actually like, it's hard science, so I don't know, I'm barely keeping up with it. Almost done, though. And the light reading book I got going now is just Bradley Wiggins's Icons. So he won the Tour de France in 2012, and he's as big a cycling dork as me. And so, like, he, you know, he talks about, like, his idols as he was growing up, and he's, like, saying, like, he was at the Tour de France commentating, and he was saying, you know, when I was 10 years old, I pretended to be Miguel Indurain, and then I started my own career. I won the Tour de France and everything. Now I'm retired, but next weekend I'll probably go out there and pretend to be Julian Alaphilippe, which I think is just kind of crazy because, like, you lived it. Like, you were doing your dream. Now you're going back to dreaming about the people that come after you. I think that's a big step.
What was your favorite movie of the last year? And no, let's stick with that. What was your favorite movie last year?
That came out? Or that I've seen in the last year?
Either. Both.
Shoot. I don't watch a lot of movies anymore.
You can opt for a TV show or something else. Visual media.
Okay, well, for
favorite visual media of the last year.
Okay. Alright. Yeah, so recent shows that I like. It's past its prime, but Vikings, that was a pretty good show for a while. It's only started recently to go downhill. But even though, like, even in its early seasons, it was pretty formulaic to the point where it would just have a three-episode cycle. The first episode, the Vikings would just make a bunch of alliances with people, and then they would, in the next episode, they'd have a big fight, and then afterwards, it probably wasn't a complete success, so they'd have to lick their wounds for an episode, and then they'd just make more alliances again. But it was really cool because, it was good because, like, you cared about the characters because they were cool and compelling. Like, Ragnar Lothbrok, that guy's the man. Absolute man. But as the show went on, but in addition to that, they also showed, like, the cultural clash between, like, the Vikings and, like, Western Europe, so that's medieval Christian societies and stuff, especially in England, which is interesting to see. So you're actually, like, you know, kind of learning history while you have fun watching it and care about the plot. But then nowadays, now it's kind of going downhill because, like, they just start having the Vikings have civil wars, and it's like, I don't care how these teams are switching up or what's happening. Like, I cared more overall just about having a plot as I watched history or a recreation of history. Uh-huh. But so, yeah. How about you?
Hard to say. Just thinking back on,
I'm also forgetting movies.
Like, certainly.
I've seen some stuff.
Certainly. A random one, the animated Spider-Man, Spider-Verse or whatever.
Everybody's told me that was good.
Yeah, I really like that. I thought the, My girlfriend is an animator, or does some animation stuff, so she gave me a little window into, like, some of the cool strategies they were using in the movie to, like, push the plot forward with the way that it was actually being animated, which was pretty neat. This is a very old one, but I'm still working on finishing The Wire. Been going very slow, but it's really good. One of, in my opinion, or the best TV shows I've ever seen. Game of Thrones season 8, really phenomenal recap.
What?
No, I'm joking. Definitely not a highlight. Westworld, I will admit, I got kind of like...
Dude, that's gotta be at least 3 years old.
I binged a bit. Well, I binged it this year.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like it was pretty shallow. And I had a whole bunch of critiques for it, but I'm not really one to say much because I did watch all of it, so, you know, there you go.
I watched, the movie came out in, like, 1989, but I just watched it. I watched the Henry V Shakespeare movie, you know?
Okay.
Like, and so, like, that's the one that, you can find, like, it has, like, the Band of Brothers speech in it, like, that's the most famous thing.
Okay.
And then it had the, it's Gilderoy Lockhart from Harry Potter, who's the main guy, but he's, like, really good. And it, yeah, gets you pumped up. That movie got me so pumped up, made the 10 out of 10 list. 10 out of 10 movie.
Sweet.
Yeah. What else is on? What's some of the things on yours? 10 out of 10 movie.
I gotta think about this for a second.
Well, while you think, obviously Lord of the Rings is on there. I don't know. The books actually keep distancing themselves more from the movies the more I read it, but movies are still good for Lord of the Rings, not The Hobbit.
How many times have you read Lord of the Rings books? And how many times have you seen the movies?
Probably read the series completely, like cover to cover, 4 times, I guess. Which isn't, I don't know, relatively much, but like I'll just read chapters whenever I feel, or like I'll just put on the audiobook of the chapter whenever I feel like it, you know. And like certain chapters work better at a certain like time of year, you know. I'll try to mention those, like what's the time of year it reminds me of as we do the series.
And what about the movies?
Oh, I don't know, I've seen the movies a lot. No, I saw the movies before I read the books. It's quite a bummer. Quite a bummer of my life.
I believe that I've only watched the Lord of the Rings series once, not in Patrick's presence.
Well, you've watched it like twice with me.
At least. Yeah, maybe thrice.
Well, we did a marathon at your house one time around Christmas. And
a marathon at your house one time.
Right? Oh, we did. Yeah, you're right. That wasn't around Christmas. I think that was around Thanksgiving-ish.
You know, I take that back. I don't think I've ever seen the movies without Patrick present.
Yeah, because we watched it on the way to Wisconsin camp, too.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Well, movies are pretty good. They have faults. We'll point them out. We'll point out what they did well, too, I think. So, what other movies, though, do you like? 10 out of 10. I have a list, by the way, just to let you know.
I should probably keep a list.
Mm-hmm. This is so, it's list worthy. I have a bunch of lists going. Take it. Say something.
I need to really chew on this. I'm really bad at picking favorites for things. I have a bad habit of like always rationalizing like things I don't like,
okay,
or critiquing things that I'm into.
Okay. Well, what I would also say is too, when I say 10 out of 10, it's like that's exactly what I want from a movie, you know. It's like between the 10 out of 10 movies, I could probably rank them. I don't really, but it's just like, yeah, this had everything I wanted to see, you know. Mm-hmm. This was like satisfying story, good characters, I don't know, whatever else I think is important.
Here's a good one. The other day, I watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off for, like, the nth time.
Yeah.
And I kind of, in my mind, had been grouping it in with, like, a lot of the...
Giants.
Yeah, like, random goofy 80s movies. Or maybe 90s, I don't really know. But that movie's so good.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
I love it. Another one that I love is A Fish Called Wanda. It's kind of a random... I feel like cult classic from the 80s, like kind of Monty Python era. There's a few people from Monty Python in it, but it's really good.
10 out of 10 movies. Braveheart, obviously. for all its, I usually actually like really historically accurate movies. I know that one is not, but still awesome. movies like Rocky will be on my list. Now, Rocky, though, that one was like 7 out of 10, until you add in the theme song, and then it becomes a 10 out of 10.
Hayao Miyazaki movies, I don't know if you've know Spirited Away or Princess Mononoke, those two in particular, but his movies in general, I think are all awesome.
Yeah, well, actually, I think I've made a point before to mention close to all of my top 10 movies and our heroes examples from The Hobbit. So
stay tuned.
Close to most of those are in my top 10. Those are so cool. Have you seen Ben-Hur?
No.
With the chariot scene?
Uh-uh.
You never watched the chariot scene?
Uh-uh.
Dude. Chariots of Fire, that's a 10 out of 10. Mostly for the opening scene. That gets like, you know, 8 of its... What else is on my list? Saving Private Ryan. Of course Breaking Away is on there. Of course Breaking Away is on there. Oh, we didn't talk about that one, actually, probably. That's one of the ones I missed. Fantasia. Catch Me If You Can's on there, because I can't find anything wrong with it. It's just like, it's the ultimate, that is the ultimate, like, oh, if that's on TBS, I just sit and watch the rest of it, you know?
I see, that's an example of grade inflation, where you get 100% because you didn't do anything wrong, but you didn't necessarily exceed expectations.
I know, so maybe I should dock it to a 9.5. But it still has charm, so,
yeah.
You know, because there's that joke where Tom Hanks is like, they're saying to him, like, how come you never tell a joke? And he's just like, you want to hear a joke? Well, knock, knock. Who's there?
All right, Patrick, what's your favorite animal?
All right, this is a tough question. I might say bears. Yeah, bears. Polar bear, black bear, grizzly bear. Pretty cool. Buffaloes were up there. Eagles were up there. I guess I'm pretty North American in my selection.
Uh-huh.
What about you?
Sea otters and river otters I really like. Peregrine falcons, also really cool. That's the fastest bird in the world. Fastest living thing in the world, by the way.
Oh, well, how fast is that? What, because it can drop?
No. Yeah, yeah. What?
No.
Yeah, it does.
There's a marlin that can swim like 80 miles an hour.
I know, underwater. This thing can fly like 200 miles an hour.
So? It's just falling. It's not flying.
Yes, it is. Anyways, I think it's really cool. And then I like wolves a lot, too.
Favorites? Song in a Disney movie. We can cut this part out.
I will admit, I haven't actually seen that many of the classic Disney movies. Or, like, I hadn't seen a lot of them when I was a kid.
Stop while you're behind.
A classmate a few years back told me that I remind her of Hercules before he got buff. Oh. And so I guess I have to have some sympathy for young Hercules. I don't actually know what songs he sings, but I guess I could empathize.
The Going the Distance song in Hercules is good. The correct answer is, of course, Whole New World and Aladdin. Alright, craziest thing you've seen... No, favorite thing you've seen... Favorite crazy stunt you've seen Bear Grylls do.
Not that too.
Yeah, you give your answer first, because I don't think I've actually seen that much Bear Grylls. The only thing that comes to mind is him drinking his own piss when he's really thirsty, which I don't really think is my favorite.
Eating the goat testicles. Oh, no. The classic was how he got his show. I'm convinced it's how he got his show, but you look up Bear Grylls eating a grub, and that was the best. Because like, it was like the juiciest thing in the world. Like, it was so gross. Okay, we know my favorite sport, cycling. What about you? Well, to do and watch.
I love running. I don't know if that totally counts as a sport.
Yeah.
I also like playing frisbee and tennis a lot. To watch, I'd say probably football or baseball. I know those are both kind of lame answers, but like I enjoy the whole classic stadium experience. Not on TV.
Okay, maybe passable. You want to go to a Bears game? Those things are freezing.
No, college football is better than pro.
Okay, fine. That's true. Cubs games are fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just think baseball is really boring, so temper that. Put that together.
Okay.
Classic, your desert island, you're stuck there situation. You get to eat one food, or I guess you could say type of food if you really want to push it. And you get one book, and one tool. How about that?
Tool?
Sure. You don't have to do it. You cut that.
All right. Well, I'll eat pizza. I like actually don't get sick of pizza. Like we did a pizza weekend, so I always give pizza up for Lent, like my family does, and so like it's always a challenge because I like it a lot. And then, but like before that, one year before it, we did a pizza week, and so we tried all the pizza places in the small college town.
Check it out.
Sure. But I didn't even get sick of it even before that. Like I still could have kept going even past 8.
You ever read those books, The Hatchet?
Yeah.
All the sequels.
I was gonna say a really big knife.
Okay. Pretty good.
Okay. Your turn.
I'd probably choose. Oh man, it's pretty tough. I'd probably choose Mexican food if I got variety. If I had to pick, like...
Mexican food? Really?
Yeah, I love Mexican food.
But you can get that off a deserted island.
It depends how much I have to take into account my own
survival.
It's not
even, like, it's hard to find good Mexican food. Like, all of it's good. It's hard to have bad Mexican food.
So, exactly. So why would I not want that on a desert island?
Because you can have a luxury, like, pizza from Chicago. Because it's a hypothetical question.
If we're taking that that approach, that tactic, where maybe I'd say certain types of Japanese food. I don't know what a perfect single thing is. There's a lot of stuff that's, like, different combinations of little delicious things. You know, like, you'll have a bunch of small little plates of, like, pickles and fermented things and tofu and rice and fish. And I feel like that counts as, like, one meal, even though it's many things. And that stuff is all so good. It takes so much time and energy went into producing some super small, very flavorful thing. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, I got it. All right, so for my book on a deserted island, I would write my own. That's how I would spend my days.
Okay.
All right. What about your book?
I feel like one approach could be just to choose something very practical, like some book about survival or navigation or boat building or something like that.
Lame.
But...
Lame. It's
not... of books that I've read recently, Guns, Germs, and Steel comes to mind, just because I...
Do you want to reread that over and over again?
I've already... I incidentally have listened to it on tape, like, twice in a row. Because for a while, it was the only book on tape I had in my car, so every road trip, I would listen to it. But I do like it a lot.
Okay.
But I feel like if I were on a desert island, I would pick some, like, epically long work of classic literature that I haven't yet read.
Oh, yeah, like, I'm reading the Brothers Karamazov. That's another one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
like I would choose like Dante's Inferno or something like that, or like something really massive that I feel like I wouldn't be able to get through if I wasn't on a deserted island, you know.
What's your tool?
Oh yeah, the knife is pretty good. I've always thought bow and arrows were really cool, but I feel like there's definitely more practical things.
Isn't that two tools? You only get the arrow or the bow. You have to pick.
I will go with hatchet.
Okay. Favorite memory from our Lake Michigan bike trip? And don't say something sappy like the accomplishment.
Not that sappy, Patrick. For some context, Patrick and I, on somewhat of a whim, decided we were going to bike around Lake Michigan.
Well, just little planning. We had said we'd do it for like 4 months.
Definitely. So Patrick and I were kind of speculatively saying, well, why don't we bike around Lake Michigan? You know, how hard can that be? And we decided to go forward with it. We recruited Patrick's cousin Mike to join us biking, and then two friends of theirs to drive a little support car for us. It took us 11 days, I think, and was like a little over 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sweet. Pretty tough.
Since we're getting technical about it too, let me just say too. So, we did it in the worst way possible. No, just like, you should train up for that kind of stuff. We did it with no training, so we had to ride really slow. Which means, like, if we had trained, we could have been done 2 or 3 hours earlier each day. And that would have been unbelievably more optimal rest time for us to recover. Like, my palms went numb for a week after that trip.
Patrick has visions of the Tour de France as we're coasting through Michigan and Wisconsin. For those of us with more humble aspirations, we still made some missteps. Or, you know, we're constrained by the circumstances, but we did like 550 miles in the first 5 days, which was really terrible. so it made the second half really, really great.
The other key thing to that trip was I might have been the one that prompted it, but Clifford like ran the show. Like he did all the cooking. He like had all the directions. Now, every 10th time I would question him on the directions, I would actually be right. We were about to go a wrong way. Sometimes we did go a wrong way. Remember that detour? That was bad. There's like this super steep, like we were on like some sandy road that we could barely ride, and we're like, ah, I don't want to go back over this. So we tried to like just cut across, and it turned out to just be a huge, huge mound, a ridge, huge ridge to cross. Ridiculous, but. Yeah. All right. Favorite memory?
Generally speaking, biking through the northern lower peninsula of Michigan, the tip of the mitt, as locals might say.
Yeah.
Well, like, we were just in great spirits. The weather was beautiful. The landscape was beautiful.
Remember all the fudge?
We had a bunch of fudge. going past Sleeping Bear Dunes and, like, Glen Arbor, that area was probably my favorite.
Kel and Jack were really funny on the trip. You remember Kellen's dinosaur calls? That was like, that literally is the funniest thing I've ever seen. what else did I really like? Yeah, tip of the mitt. I mean, that was the best part. Especially since, like, once we got across to the lower peninsula, I finally, like, had, like, a sense of relief, like, okay, now we're going closer to home. Now it's like,
It's all downhill.
We're not getting further away to where something could go wrong, you know? Oh, I like to go to the lake houses, too.
Yeah.
Favorite chess piece, besides the queen?
Rook.
Why?
It still covers all your bases. I feel like it's a very just, like, kind of calm and strong piece.
You know? Yeah, but it's hard to get out.
I know. It doesn't come into play that often, so it's kind of mellow. Hides in the background a little bit, but, you know, really comes in handy in a pinch. Very trustworthy at the end of the game. I feel like it's a very reliable piece. It's not as fickle as some of the other pieces.
Oh, I'm all about the knights, dude. I'm all about the knights.
Seems like you're kind of quirking it.
Okay, besides chess and Lord of the Rings Risk, favorite board game?
Monopoly's pretty classic.
No, too classic.
I've gotten into Catan later in life.
I never got to play that.
Catan's pretty fun. Similar to Risk, I think it moves a little, it's like a little bit more clear, straightforward. What is it? It's one of those like train games where you have to like make the connections.
Ticket to Ride or whatever.
Ticket to Ride. Okay. That's pretty fun.
You played have you played Diplomacy with me?
No.
That one, well, I don't know. That one's kind of fun, but it's also like, I mean, you hate your opponents after that one.
Have you ever
hate them. It breaks friendships. Do not do it as a team building activity. It destroys team. It doesn't build it.
this something akin to like a 3-dimensional Connect 4, where there's like 16 vertical pegs, and you have black and white spheres that you drop onto them, and you have to get four. And it's like, you know, more complex tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
You have to get four in a line in any dimension.
Did you ever play Sequence?
It's way harder than it sounds.
You ever play Sequence?
No.
What about Blockus? Blockus is fun.
Yes. Little colored pieces.
Yeah.
A Tetris type thing.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings, Risk is King. Because, you know, my house rules are the best rules ever. Especially the Violent Storms card.
Oh, Scrabble. I like Scrabble a lot. That's a family classic of mine.
Favorite period in history to study?
That's a good one. I like a lot of ancient history in general, like the rise of different civilizations.
How ancient?
I'd say right around the time of the Agricultural Revolution, probably my favorite.
Super ancient.
I know.
That's prehistory.
That's what I mean. It's okay. Like those moments, like...
Ancient's the, like...
The transition into civilization is really intriguing to me. And it happens at slightly different times at different places in the world, but that's my favorite, I think.
Okay.
Put it another way. Like tribe dynamics and hunter-gatherers and, like, various peoples all around the world before the Agricultural Revolution, I think are pretty intriguing. But then, like, this whole, like, dramatic shift that happened with agriculture, moving into cities, developing writing, building larger societies, is also really cool. So at that like focal point in history, you get to see both.
Okay.
What about you?
Probably the first century BC and the first century AD.
Rome.
Well, no, just what's going on in the Roman world.
Okay.
Because in the first century BC, you have like... just all the epic, well, that's when all like the Republic's breaking down, and you have all like the crazy civil wars with like, first it's like Marius versus Sulla, and then it goes down to Julius Caesar versus Pompey, and then it goes down to Augustus or Octavian versus Mark Antony, and then there's like 20 other major names throughout that kind of stuff, and then it becomes kind of the opposite after the time of Christ, because then it's interesting to see like where his apostles like spread out to, because we only have hazy details of that,
right?
So it's hard to figure it out, which intrigues me. I'm also becoming like somewhat obsessed with like the fall of Rome a little bit too, and like the 400s, I guess. I love cycling history.
Yeah, I guess say, Patrick liking cycling history. I'm an architect. I like architectural history a lot.
Yeah. I like Renaissance architecture.
Yeah, I mean, there's fascinating things to say. The Renaissance is obviously a pretty big deal. I cannot deny that. The sort of like early dwellings, like the time period I was talking about, like hunter-gatherers transitioning into like settled civilizations is...
Wait, I think, like saying that more than the Renaissance?
No, I'm not. I'm saying it's also very interesting and valid.
Okay.
For example, I mean, a good thing to consider that is actually pretty relevant today is like some of these very earliest dwellings have really ingenious ways of dealing with the climate around them with like... oftentimes literal dirt for resources.
It is impressive, you know, what they figure out.
So they, from like an engineering standpoint, it's like they're able to work with so little to make something that's actually pretty darn functional, and like we've made strides in many ways, but a lot of the foundational things haven't changed that much in all these thousands of years.
I like seeing the archaeology, how they figure this stuff out, basically just dealing with the trash of these people that they have left over.
Right.
You know, and they can actually piece together what it was like. Very impressive. Cool field, in my opinion.
Favorite historical characters?
Characters or real people?
People, you know what I mean. You can frame it however you want. Who would you invite to your dinner situation, or who would you like to meet? That type of thing. Or maybe it might be someone you don't want to meet at all, but just like someone pretty fascinating you like to study.
Yeah, Julius Caesar's really cool. Like, especially as I'm gonna blank on the title, but the siege of the A village. Like, there's a siege where he's sieging Vercingetorix, and then so he builds a wall around his walled city, and then Vercingetorix, who's boxed in now, sends out help to get reinforcements. So these reinforcements are going to come up. So Caesar's already built a wall around Vercingetorix's wall. So then when he hears that reinforcements are coming, he's like, all right, I guess we're just going to have to build a wall to defend our wall. So he does that. And then he's fighting on both sides. And he, like, wins somehow. And that's, like, the biggest... That's the end of, like, his... Like, the wars in Gaul. And that's how he wins, was that. And then also... Like, yeah, that was, like, he's like, the ultimate titan in Clash of Titans, you know, okay. Kind of stuff.
Okay.
After that, it's mostly just great saints. I don't know. What about you?
Take it. I have to chew on this a little bit. A lot of the Renaissance guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Michelangelo or Da Vinci.
Yeah.
That'd be super interesting, because... Yeah. I mean, Da Vinci's maybe a little bit of a loner, but, like, Michelangelo and some of the guys in his milieu were, like, doing what are considered to be, like, some of the greatest works of art of all time.
Yeah.
Howdy. As, you know, like, 22-year-olds. Like, you know, it's beyond just, like, these guys were talented and had a lot of practice. It was, like, approaching, like, savant level... execution of stuff.
Yeah, we can't see that in our day.
Right, or I mean, you never know. It, like, might take on different forms, and we won't know till 1,000 years later, but...
Well, no, but I'd say it's more like they were in the position, like, they were talented, but then it's like they had everything built upon it. Like, that was, like, the peak of art so far in history. What superpower would you have?
Flying, obviously.
What?
I mean, that's a good one.
Oh no, I'd have pausing time, dude.
Okay.
That is all I want. I don't even have to, like, as long as I can just move and pause time, that's all I would do. That's all I want.
I just thought flying would be sweet. I guess that's kind of a selfish power, because it's mostly just awesome for me, but I can't actually do that much.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I could do a lot when I pause time. I could write books. I could sleep, and then I wouldn't have to sleep during real time.
If you were going to live in any historical setting, historical time period and place, where would it be and why?
Shoot, Clifford.
Would you want to live in Rome?
No. Well, I don't know. Maybe in the Renaissance. But probably not. I always thought it'd be cool to be a shepherd on the first Christmas night.
So my general feeling is that there'd be a lot of, like, pretty cool historical empires to see, but pretty much if you were not in the elite, ruling elite, or, like, the wealthy class, your life would suck really bad. So I've always thought that being in one of the, like, smaller tribes in the Americas before the arrival of Europeans, and, like, specifically not the Aztecs or the Incas, would be... pretty cool, because I feel like that's kind of, in my mind, like, maxing out, where it's like the society is, like, moderately large and, like, growing in complexity, but it hasn't reached, like, a point of significant striation. Like, it seems like remaining, like, fairly respectful and equitable. So I've always thought that would be kind of cool. Also, being partially nomadic would be great, like being a shepherd, like Patrick said.
In a 24-hour period, just on your own 2 feet, nothing else, how far can you traverse? How far do you think you could get?
I think it would depend on what I was running from or what I was running to. whether, like, my life depends on it sort of drive. I feel like 30 miles
what?
Would be doable.
That's it?
What do you think?
You can run a marathon in 3 hours. You have 21 left. Are you kidding me? That's it?
I guess, okay, I didn't think about running. I was just thinking about walking.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never pushed my body that hard before. I feel like I'd start breaking down at 50.
I think I could get 70. So I need all 24 hours, though.
That's, what are you, averaging 3 miles an hour?
Well, I think...
20-minute miles?
I think you marathon shuffle 45 to 50 of it. And then you, in between that, you're just alternating walking for the other 20.
Okay.
I don't actually know what that comes out to, though, for paces, but... Do you want to revise your thoughts?
These are reasonable guess, considering I've never traveled more than a marathon. Unless I had specifically trained to go further, or I was like literally running for my life. I feel like that I would almost certainly max out by that point, to the point of collapse.
Okay. All right, so Clifford, we're putting an ending on our hiking special.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it went well. I was surprised how happy I was with how it sounded. I actually was holding it, the thing too close to the recorder too close to me. You actually had the right amount. I thought, okay, you would be too far away from it and we wouldn't be able to hear, but I was wrong. Maybe we should just, because we don't have to keep going, because there was just an hour of us rambling already.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal here? We just finished recording what?
Chapter 4.
Yeah, so we have a lot of episodes banked up now.
Mm-hmm.
Those will be coming out soon. Once we start releasing stuff, I want to commit to the schedule, which is why we've been kind of stocking stuff up. But, you know, we're kind of waiting. Why are we waiting?
Because I'm moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, moving and... trying to figure out what I'm doing for the next couple of years, you could say.
Yeah, you're on a flexible timeline right now.
Right, that's correct.
From everything I'm understanding.
Known to some people as being unemployed. Known to others, living the good life. Others still taking things as they come.
Yeah, but. So we're trying to adjust to that, but I'm going to guess once this comes out, we'll put out our forward episode a week or two. I don't know. It can't be more than a month after this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we'll put that out. And then from there, oh, Clifford, you dropped again.
What?
There you are. I see you.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll put this out. We'll put the forward episode out within a week or two, I'm going to guess. Probably not more than that after this.
Okay.
And from there, we'll be releasing weekly until at least halfway through the fellowship. We'll probably take like a break, a little bit of break then. But yeah,
okay.
Hopefully we can just get on the schedule. That's how I prefer podcasts. I don't like it at random. Like I want to stick to the schedule, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anything else, Clifford? How you been?
I've been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been out in California where the weather is nice and life's been pretty good. Been doing some hiking, been building things, and applying for jobs.
What have you thought of these early chapters that we recorded? Think we've been doing a good job?
I think so. I've enjoyed them.
I was pretty happy.
Yeah. I think we're ready to jump into the meat of the book.
Yeah, you think we've upped our game since The Hobbit?
I'd say so. We're, at the very least, we're definitely in the swing of things very well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we... Yeah, we were... I think we were in the swing of things since the forward.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Other episodes to come out soon.
Yes,
Let's
indeed.
Just leave it there.
Okay. All right,
have a good night.
Thanks, y'all.